We must ensure that the internet remains the engine of economic growth and technological innovation that helps propel our people and our economy forward. For these reasons, I think that the time is right to formally establish, through legislation if required, the rules of the road with respect to net neutrality.
California Congressman Henry Waxman from an FCC hearing, Federal Communications Commission hearing earlier this week. And the open internet crowd is happy because the FCC chair, Julius Genachowski, has followed up on Congressman Waxman's charge to establish rules of the road. Yesterday, in a much-anticipated speech at the Brookings Institution, he laid out the specifics of a new net neutrality policy that will protect the free and unfettered internet and prohibit discrimination by internet service providers, that is, discrimination against one website versus another. And if this doesn't make any sense to you, what it really means is keeping the status quo. Nothing will change. Right now we have net neutrality. You can log on and load up your daughter's teeny tiny blog just as fast as you can load a big corporate site like Verizon's homepage. Well, Siva Vaidyanathan, professor of media studies and law at the University of Virginia, an advocate of net neutrality, joins me now to explain what this means to us. Hey, Siva, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Very nice to be here again.
So what's new here?
Well, what's new is that the FCC is making a bold and clear statement that they are actually going to draft rules to make this the law of the land, and as opposed to just sort of letting it roll through with the status quo. That's step number one. Step number two is actually pretty special and a bit unexpected, and that is Chairman Genachowski wants to extend the principles to our mobile devices using wireless services like Verizon and AT&T, our iPhones, our Blackberries, and that is a pretty bold move, one that has not been sort of fully hashed out in sort of public arguments yet. Most of the arguments about network neutrality have been about home and office broadband access, and within that context.
So, as it applies to mobile, it would mean that no app for a mobile device could be designated to load faster or slower by the phone company?
That's one of the likely consequences. It might actually, depending on how the rules are drafted, boil down to the very question of whether the handsets themselves will be highly regulated and restricted by the companies, which, of course, comes right down to, for instance, the Google Voice application that Google tried to get onto the iPhone store, and Apple zapped it. Of course, now Apple denies that it zapped it, even though Google has documentation that it did. So, you know, it's one of those things where, look, if we're gonna move more and more of our communication and our creativity to mobile devices, our entrepreneurship to mobile devices, then we're going to really want the kind of level playing field that the internet has been for nearly 40 years, 20 years of commerce, 40 years of experimentation, in order to actually foster the kind of bold, fabulous companies like Skype and eBay and Google.
But what's the other side of this story? Who was sorry to hear this speech? I mean, some of my more libertarian listeners probably see this in just the opposite light, that if you want to have a free and unfettered internet, that means keep the innovative people who are creating the internet, be it, you know, Google or things that Apple is doing or whatever, free from government regulation.
Yeah, okay, well, see, here's the thing. You can never be free of regulation, right? So either you're going to have a rule dictating a level playing field and thus real competition, which everybody who appreciates and respects markets should applaud, or you're going to have a highly regulated system in which AT&T or Verizon or Time Warner is actually the government, is actually the regulator. So, you know, my libertarian friends are actually pretty split on this question. They don't feel good about asking the FCC to make sure that the internet stays a bold, creative, and entrepreneurial space. But a lot of them have sort of come to terms with the fact that you kind of need this sort of rule to make sure that the next Skype, the next Google can emerge. At the same time, you're going to hear a lot of complaints like, well, this is a – one of my favorite phrases, this is a solution in search of a problem, which is already a talking point among legislators who receive a tremendous amount of campaign support from the telecoms, the cable companies, which, of course, have a lot to lose in this. They want to be able to extort extra payments out of big companies and small companies to make sure that they can privilege either their content or their favored contracted content as far as delivery to our services. So, you know, they want to be able to dial down the speed and quality of Skype so that you're more likely to use Time Warner's phone service rather than Skype. And those people have, you know, they're going to be throwing money at Congress to try to get Congress to overrule the FCC on this matter. And basically they're going to make arguments, first of all, the libertarian sounding argument, as if the telecoms don't already overregulate the internet, and then you're going to be hearing a lot of stuff like, well, what are we worried about, or that the telecoms actually own the pipelines and therefore should be able to use them however they want,
right,
regardless of the detriment to the rest of us.
So this debate isn't over by virtue of these Obama administration rules. You think a Democratic Congress might even potentially overturn these net neutrality regulations?
Well, there are two things. With issues like this, because they're kind of wonky, all kinds of bad things can slip through an otherwise, populist or progressive legislature, because there might not be widespread public opposition to a bill that would undermine that network neutrality. And that's a real danger, right? You really need to be able to get out there and say, you know, what's really happening here, that the removal of network neutrality opens up the potential for real extortion and quashing creativity on the internet. And if you can't say it that clearly, people get lost and they don't understand really what's at stake here. We are very likely to have a big battle in Congress, especially in the Senate. But this is the best chance we've had to make sure that the internet for the next 20 years remains as creative and interesting a place as it has for the last 20 years.
Now, I do see that the FCC launched a new website, openinternet.gov, openinternet.gov, so the public can, what they call, contribute to the process of writing these rules. Siva, I have a feeling you're going to be on openinternet.gov.
Well, you know, the great thing is smarter people than I am know a lot more about this stuff, both the law and the tech. And one of the nice things about the style of governance coming out of the FCC right now is that, and actually many parts of the Obama administration, is that they really do want to harness the expertise of a large number of highly interested and yet disorganized groups of people. So the people who really understand the law, the tech, the economics, they're going to be cooking up some really interesting suggestions, and it'll be fun to see how it evolves. I think this is a neat time for government in America. People, despite the protests we see on Fox News, I think people are really willing to engage in this sort of and entertain this sort of experimentation, which I think is ultimately going to make for better government in our lifetimes.
And just briefly, do you think this site is accessible? Can my listeners go to openinternet.gov and participate pretty easily?
I won't know until I won't be able to answer that till we start seeing how people express themselves on that. If it ends up boiling down into philosophical talk, then it'll probably be easy to access because
right,
it'll all be about libertarianism or not.
But if it's actually
about technical stuff, it may be more useful to the regulators and less useful to the public.
Siva Vaidyanathan, professor of law and media studies at the University of Virginia. Thanks a lot.
Anytime.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC.